The first reading comes from the Hebrew Bible, from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 56 of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The epistle lesson comes from the first letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. You can find this reading on page 163 of the New Testament. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The gospel lesson for Maundy Thursday comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, and then on the next page, 31b through 35. So if you'd like to follow along with a fairly long lesson, it begins on page 101 of your New Testament. Listen to this story. "Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off His outer robe, and tied a towel around Himself. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered, You do not now know what I am doing, but later you will understand. Peter said to him, You will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, Unless I wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you. For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, Not all of you are clean. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe and returned to the table, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I've been thinking about tonight all this week, and it seemed crazy to be talking about humble disciples and to come with some polished sermon. I'm not going to give a sermon. I'm going to offer a few ideas. But the point to me was not to be polished, but rather full of humility as we come together tonight. And it struck me as I was readying for the service and as I placed the Christ candle on the center of the table that that is a wonderful symbol of the humility this church has followed for several months now. Think back, what was that candle about? Well, that candle stayed in the center of our Advent wreath throughout those weeks of Advent. We never even lighted it until Christmas Eve as we were celebrating Christ's birth. Now, think about our God, God Almighty. God so humbled God's self that God figured the only way to get through to us was to become one of us. And in one of the most messy, complicated elements of biology, God chose to be born of a woman. I'm not dissing women at all. Women are the vessel that carry all of us. But God chose to be like one of us, to go through human birth. And surely, that birth in that stable, in that backwoods town of Bethlehem, was one of humble origins. Think about his family taking off for Egypt to get away from Herod. Think about his upbringing, Jesus' upbringing, as a carpenter's son living in a small town again. And all of those things that we know about, that we've been reading about through the Bible, have taken this humble, simple man to this place where last Sunday we celebrated Palm Sunday, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Like so many other things in Jesus' life, he was following Scripture. So he sent his followers ahead to get the colt, to bring it back. He rode on a donkey into Jerusalem, and folks spread palm branches along his way and said, "Hosanna, here is the King, the expected Messiah." But this was not the Messiah that everybody had figured was coming. This was the humble Messiah. No army, no white horse, no armor, no pomp, other than a crowd of average people throwing palm branches along his way. And tonight, as Jesus well knew what was in store for him the next day on what we now call Good Friday, Jesus knew full well what was happening. Jesus chose the most humble of meals. This was stuff that everybody always had, bread and wine. Wine was more ubiquitous than water on our tables, if you can imagine that. Everybody drank wine, and there was always bread. And that is how Jesus chose to consecrate his life and consecrate his ministry from that point on. A humble man. So humble that he, the master, the Lord, the teacher, became the servant by offering and actually demanding that he be allowed to wash the feet of his pupils. Now you can hear it in Peter's voice, in his words. And if you can put yourself in that situation, imagine the embarrassment when this guy who you had followed for 3 years, this teacher, this Lord, this guy that you knew was truly the Son of God, was the awaited Messiah, the one that they had been waiting for thousands of years. And this guy took off his robe, was naked, put on a towel, and bent down to wash the feet of his pupils. Jesus says that he had a new covenant. And that confused me, because I thought about that. He was all the time talking about the kingdom of God, what it would be like. He was all the time performing miracles, healing people, calling their faith to task, and recognizing their faith by allowing them to be healed of their own faith. But up until this point, his position had been fairly exalted. He was the leader, the teacher, the miracle worker. And yet this night, he became the lowly servant and said to his followers, not only in the first century, but also in the 21st century, that we are to imitate his actions in what we do in this world. He said, by going out into this world and doing the kinds of things that I'm doing for you, by bending down, by humbling myself to wash your feet, this is a sign to you of the kind of kingdom that is here now. Get past your embarrassment, because what Jesus is calling us to do is the most simple, the most basic of acts. He didn't say lead a pious life in church. He said go out into the fertile mission fields and help people. Do these kinds of simple things, feeding them, visiting them, healing them. Do it in my name, because that's what the kingdom is all about. So tonight, as we celebrate Holy Communion, it has this great big title. But it is even more basic than that. We do it once a month. This was the meal that Jesus shared with his disciples every time they were together. It is that ordinary. It is that humble. But think about it tonight as the Last Supper. This was the last time that Jesus would break bread with his disciples. There is a point of finality about this. I want you to feel that tonight. See if this bread tastes differently, if the grape juice has a different flavor, because this is the last time before Good Friday that we'll share it with Jesus. The disciples were humbled by what they experienced that evening. And I pray for each of you that all of us may be humbled by Christ's actions in our lives as well. Amen.